Okay, so I'm going to talk about traditional birth attendance, and I'm going to contextualize it globally first, and then I'm going to look specifically at case histories in the Philippines. Traditional birth attendants were the first and often only heterodox healthcare practitioners to be integrated into formal healthcare systems worldwide through trainings directed toward the reduction of maternal and infant mortality, sponsored usually by UNICEF and WHO beginning in the 1950s. According to WHO, although initial assessments of these programs demonstrated a reduction in maternal and infant mortality, this reduction purportedly reached a plateau, they say, in the 1990s, triggering a dramatic shift in traditional birth attendant policy with the cessation of trainings and discouraged or prohibited use of TBAs worldwide. This was formally announced in a 1992 joint WHO-UNFPA statement declaring the training and use of traditional birth attendants should only be used as an interim measure until all women and children have access to acceptable professional modern health services. 4 years later, WHO policy leaders insisted on skilled rather than trained birth attendants. This is a significant policy change, as it is predicted that globally, two-thirds of all births occur outside health facilities. As you can see here, there are 62 countries, all in the global south, in which TBAs have been identified in the reviewed literature from 1970 to 2009. However, as Bergstrom and Goodburn propose, these purportedly stagnant reductions of infant and maternal mortality rates may not reflect a TBA's innate ability to learn specific birthing techniques as much as what and how they were taught, and particularly how these trainings were evaluated. The variety of training outcomes reflect this. For example, TBAs were successfully integrated and demonstrated marked reduction of maternal and infant mortality in, for example, both Malaysia and Samoa. Furthermore, the determination of the success or failure of TBA trainings is based on infant and maternal mortality data of questionable rigor. Recently, there have been myriad issues identified with the unreliable data sets and inappropriate data analysis surrounding these reported stagnant maternal and infant mortality rates. An independent analysis of neonatal mortality from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington demonstrates that neonatal mortality rates fell by 57% from 53 per 1,000 in 1970 to 23 per 1,000 in 2010, with the greatest reduction in neonatal mortality in the period from 1970 to 1980, which also was a period of intense WHO-UNICEF TBA training globally, and a slight leveling in this reduction from 1990 to 2010, or after global TBA trainings had ceased. Though I'm not drawing a correlation here because there are many other factors. With the top green line here representing neonatal mortality. Similarly, another study from the same research institute identified 342,900 maternal deaths worldwide in 2008, down from 526,300 in 1980, or a 35% decrease in maternal mortality in 28 years. If maternal deaths are statistically controlled for global HIV seroprevalence, the maternal mortality would drop from 526,300 in 1980 to 281,500 in 2008, or a 47% decrease. Hence, 12% of maternal mortality in this period may have been more a result of lack of access to antiretrovirals than to emergency obstetric care. These findings are in sharp contrast to a jointly sponsored WHO, UNICEF, UNFPA, and World Bank assessment reporting 576,300 maternal deaths globally in 1990 and 535,900 maternal deaths in 2005, or a mere 7% decrease in maternal mortality in 15 years. You can see here on the top dotted line for both of these countries, the WHO results, and the purple line below are from the Institute for Health Metrics at the University of Washington. Although causality cannot be determined from this data, as numerous factors, including malnutrition, infectious environment, poor prenatal and postnatal care, can contribute to maternal as well as neonatal mortality, some correlations are illustrated. For example, although the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation Research does not specifically consider TBA training as a factor in these rates, Both their findings and WHO's identify the most marked reductions in maternal mortality rate from 1990 to 1995, or during the final years when TBA training was still provided by WHO and UNICEF, and the highest increase in maternal mortality rate from 1995 to 2000, and you could see a slight raising here, or during the years after the global WHO-UNICEF TBA training had ceased. The change in global health policy for TBAs may have influenced a recent change in TBA policy by the Department of Health of the Philippines. Since 1952, UNICEF and the Department of Health of the Philippines conducted trainings for TBAs throughout the Philippines. These trainings focused on sterile and hygienic techniques, prenatal and postnatal education, and the warning signs of complications requiring referrals to hospitals. TBAs were especially discouraged from the practice of cutting the umbilical cord with bamboo and were given sterile birthing kits that some informants revealed they had kept since their initial trainings in the 1950s. TBAs interviewed found the trainings useful, reported to have practiced what they were taught, and were eager, very eager, for more trainings. From 2004 to 2008, the World Bank, USAID, the European Commission, and the Asian Development Bank issued reports concerning the funding of a project to reduce infant and maternal mortality in the Philippines via skilled deliveries within in-birthing facilities. The Asian Development Bank's independent evaluation, which you can see here, was the only report to recommend to not fund the project, finding it both infeasible and unsustainable, and noting the serious flawed data sets and statistical analyses provided by the Department of Health of the Philippines. Unlike the other evaluations, the Asian Development Bank suggested that the development of in-birthing facilities, especially in rural areas, was a project that even if implementable, could only be implemented in small stages over time, and that traditional birth attendants attending to at-home births were essential for this process to occur. The concern of the Asian Development Bank evaluation was that the cessation of trainings of and the lack of provision of a sterile birthing kit for traditional birth attendants would not dissuade women from seeking their health, nor would it encourage traditional birth attendants' compliance to the policy by virtue of their priorities to community women as dictated by their cultural role. For although several TBAs reported to me to be relieved to be able to give up their roles, all stated that they would never be able to refuse a woman requesting their help. Furthermore, contrary to the other reports, correlation of infant and maternal mortality rate with TBA deliveries, the independent evaluators of the Asian Development Bank reported that when they disaggregated the Department of Health data, which you see here, purportedly serving as the main data set for all of the above reports, they found that the training of TBAs substantially reduced maternal and infant mortality in the Philippines, that this varied significantly, depending, as you see here, from administrative region to region, and that the far lower number of in-facility deliveries actually resulted in a higher relative proportion of infant and maternal mortality. Now, that may sound counterintuitive. Penwell identified poor hygiene, lack of medical equipment, lack of sterile technique, and lack of appropriate care, my lips are so dry, and lack of appropriate care in labor and delivery in neonatal intensive care units of selected Philippine hospitals as possibly contributing to this high mortality rate in facility. Similar to the issues of scientific rigor identified in the global WHO UNICEF data, in assessing the Department of Health of the Philippines data, the independent evaluators at Asian, thank you so much. I'm sorry. Is that what Mile High does? Okay. Okay. A new definition of Mile High. Okay. The independent evaluators at Asian Development Bank identified that essentially all at-home deliveries that resulted in maternal and infant mortality, regardless of who assisted delivery, very often being a family member or possibly the mother by herself, along with purposeful abortions by the mother, were statistically attributed to traditional birth attendants. The Asian Development Bank findings are corroborated by the data from the, as I mentioned, mentioned before, Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. In their analysis of under five mortality in the Philippines, a 67% reduction in the under five mortality rate from 1970 to 2010 was identified. Though causality, again, cannot be attributed, it's interesting to note that the highest periods of child mortality rate reduction, 1980 to 2000, were also the periods informants reported to have the highest number of TBA trainings in the Philippines. This research team also identified a 61% decrease in maternal mortality for the Philippines from 1980 to 1990, 41% decrease from 1990 to 2000, and a mere 18% decrease from 2000 to 2008. Again, the periods with the largest decreases in the maternal mortality rate from 1980 to 1990 were identified as the periods with the highest number of TBA trainings. However, in September 2008, the Department of Health of the Philippines issued an administrative order stating that all women in the Philippines are to be considered at risk during pregnancy and must only deliver in facility by skilled professionals, midwives and physicians, biomedical midwives. TBAs are to be integrated into the maternal child health team only if they agree to never perform deliveries again. To determine the feasibility of mandatory in-facility birthing by skilled professionals in the Philippines, I conducted 400 semi-structured individual and focus group interviews in communities of four socioeconomically similar municipalities of the Philippines. The sample was selected through convenience and snowball sampling. Inclusion criteria were women above 18 years of age. Oral informed consent and IRB approval were attained. Data was analyzed with in vivo. The feasibility and sustainability of implementing this Department of Health policy were found to be challenged along numerous criteria. Firstly, 80% of Philippine women in rural or isolated areas prefer to deliver at home with the assistance of TBAs. Furthermore, less than 25% of the women interviewed who prefer to deliver at home with TBAs would change their preference because of the DOH administrative order. When questioned how some communities would handle the situation of women who desired at-home deliveries with TBAs and who would not comply with the Department of Health policy, some community members and community administrators reported tactics from persuasion and coercion to outright threats and apparent harassment. Currently, infants who are delivered by a TBA are not being given a birth certificate, as only a skilled professional is authorized to sign a certificate. That a woman's choice of how, where, and by whom she would prefer delivery should be removed and dictated to her by a decentralized Department of Health, and that this policy may be considered an infringement of women's rights, does not appear to be introduced into the consciousness of this discourse, except by less than 10% of the women and administrators interviewed. Feasibility is also challenged in terms of financial accessibility. Although the real government per capita health expenditure has significantly decreased, as you see here in the last decade, the cost of healthcare has increased, as has the proportion of out-of-pocket spending, which is the third line down in purple, that line there, or brown, whatever that is, which all affects the type of practitioner that one can afford to see. With the poorest quintile here at the far left bar of each of these, this orange here, least able to afford skilled attendance globally. In order to replace at-home delivery by traditional birth attendance, it is planned that in-facility delivery costs for indigent women will be covered by the National Health Insurance, PhilHealth, for up to US$130 per delivery for a maximum of four deliveries only. However, this amount does not fully cover the cost of a hospital delivery, and women still must pay for medications before reimbursement by PhilHealth, transportation to the facility, and any costs beyond the allocated coverage, all of which may be beyond a family's budget. Furthermore, if there are complications resulting in costs beyond the PhilHealth allocated coverage, women and their families would somehow have to be responsible for the difference. The location of in-birthing facilities are chosen by a municipal health officer with possible input from a provincial governor. However, facilities were not always planned for these communities that were furthest from the hospitals where women were least likely to be able to access emergent care. When queried how locations for birthing clinics were determined, one municipal health officer stated simply, "I just chose it." Another stated that the criteria was according to which community was most likely to sustain and utilize the clinic, which physicians could staff the clinic, and where greatest need was determined. From other in-depth interviews, the choice of which community receives an in-birthing facility appeared to be determined by a combination of political and feasibility criteria. But regardless of placement, several municipal health officers reported subsequent underutilization of in-birthing facilities. For example, in this facility, one rural community opened this birthing facility, which UNFPA paid about $40,000 for, US dollars, in the municipality in 2009, reported that in that year, 31 women delivered at home and only one delivered in this in-birthing facility. When the women were queried why they did not use the new in-birthing facility, they stated that the table was too uncomfortable, and the one woman delivering in facility agreed, stating that in the future she would not use the facility again. The feasibility of increased hospital deliveries is also challenged. Several chiefs of hospitals reported that their number one admission of normal spontaneous deliveries was overtaxing an already overtaxed hospital system, and that hospital obstetric staff had to encourage women deemed not to be at risk to deliver at home. And that's sometimes after they came to the hospital, they were sent back home. For example, in one regional hospital shown here, normal spontaneous deliveries increased from 1,858 deliveries in 2006 to 2,116 deliveries in 2009, or a 12% increase in 4 years, whilst the number of medical staff has remained constant or more likely decreased. Furthermore, though this policy has slashed the healthcare workforce by prohibiting TBAs from delivering, and remember, they're more than 50% of the workforce, and especially in rural areas. And that's my place. It is a particular concern that no provisions have been offered for increasing the number of skilled birthing professionals, nor does the policy address the issue of physicians who refuse to work in rural areas. This professional human resource imbalance may prove very difficult to overcome in a country with a well-documented mass migration of medical professionals. Furthermore, hospitals in the Philippines may be more associated with death, as you see here, than birth due to the excessive number of deaths in Filipino hospitals. Hence, the feasibility and sustainability of this policy for a given local context has not been assessed or fully accounted for as much as assumed. 83% of biomedical midwife community health unit administrators interviewed believed the policy was neither feasible nor sustainable. Furthermore, many midwife administrators reported good collaborative working relationships with the TBAs who were formerly trained in their communities and reported few, if any, delivery complications and appropriate referral to the biomedical midwife or hospital when complications did arise. With some midwife administrators responsible for as many as 3 to 4 different community health units, now also having to be available around the clock for potential deliveries in several communities may stretch them beyond a functioning capacity. Therefore, the outcome of this situation is that Filipino women will continue to have at-home births with TBAs who are now no longer being trained or supplied with a sterile birthing kit. Then there is a clear potential for increased maternal and infant morbidity and mortality, especially in remote, poor, and inaccessible areas where the implementation of this policy is least feasible. Thereby, the primary objective behind this policy, to decrease health inequity and improve healthcare quality and access, is being severely compromised by the policy in this context. Furthermore, it is imperative to recognize that local heterodox practitioners serve important social and cultural functions in their communities. According to Well Raven and Weeks, not training TBAs who are willing and capable to learn skills of prevention, early recognition, and management of life-threatening obstetric complications will cause more harm than good. In conclusion, this research suggests that what may be gained by adhering to a particular biomedical standard must be considered in terms of what is actually feasible and appropriate for a given local context, for what may be lost in local level healthcare may ultimately alter the social fabric of communities and the delicate mechanisms that function to maintain the health of vulnerable populations. Thank you for your attention.